Hi, and welcome to Super Anti-Aging Podcast with Steve Halpern, your host. And the subject of this podcast is depression. We seem to have an epidemic of depression in this country, certainly with the number of prescriptions that are written for various antidepressant medications. And the scary thing is these are being written for adolescents now. Adolescent brains don't really develop till they're 22. And we're putting this mixture in and giving a message that take a pharmaceutical for a mood issue. Well, what's the next step in recreational drugs for these kids? So having a natural compound might be absolutely wonderful. So the question is, why haven't I heard more of this? Well, there's not a big incentive for drug companies whose major sale is antidepressant drugs as well as ADD drugs to promote this. If this actually does what it does, it can hurt the bottom line of pharmaceutical antidepressants. Now, it's quite possible, and there is a place for those in someone suicidal, for an antidepressant. But antidepressants take time to work. They're not, even if they do work, they don't work quickly. And what it's doing to our brain chemistry, what it's doing to epigenetics, gene expression, nobody knows. Depression does not necessarily reflect as sadness. It could be lack of motivation and drive. There can be predisposing factors, not getting enough sleep, adrenal exhaustion, maybe some vitamin deficiencies, which I'll mention. But let me get into the excitement here. Carnitine is an amino acid found basically in meats. So if you're vegetarian, chalk that off. It's very important for muscle and heart health, but that's carnitine. And supposedly, the body, if you have all the machinery, can make acetylcarnitine, which passes into the brain. But now they think, according to the study, that millions of people might have a defect in the conversion of carnitine into acetylcarnitine. So there was a study done, a real study, human study, placebo-controlled study, which you can certainly look up on the web. And they did blood measurements of acetylcarnitine, and the lower the level of acetylcarnitine, the more it was related to depression. So they did an experiment giving acetylcarnitine, and to their amazement, they saw a difference in depression. And it seemed that the lower the acetylcarnitine levels were, the more acute the depression, yet there seemed to be a resolution of the depression with acetylcarnitine. The good news, it's available over the counter. It's inexpensive. There are no known side effects. And it's a natural compound that the body has experience with. Or there are some additional things that might help. Certainly, we know that exercise can help. We know that sometimes even having low blood sugar episodes, because you're eating a very high sugar diet and you're getting fluctuations of blood sugar, so the brain is not getting the glucose. That's a possibility. Sometimes there can be problems with folic acid. And that can be evaluated. Some people have a gene problem of converting folic acid to the active folic acid. That can be measured in a doctor's office, and then you can take the appropriate form of folic acid. B6 has been related to mental functioning. Some people, again, have a problem converting B6 to pyridoxine 6-phosphate, so the B6 might not even work. There's some studies on adenosylmethionine, a compound, amino acid compound, sometimes used to lower homocysteine. not a good thing, cardiovascular risk, but there have been some studies, again, not as profound as this acetylcarnitine study. The brain is very susceptible to oxidative stress, meaning that same rancidity you see when an apple turns brown. And there have been some studies that glutathione possibly might help. In fact, there are studies going back almost 60, 70 years. I remember going to the library and finding it the old way in Index Medicus, this big, thick book that you had to look through. And the Mayo Clinic did a study on schizophrenia and glutathione. And there have been some recent small studies on glutathione. And it might not be a bad idea to take some supplemental glutathione. I prefer a powdered form because I can titrate the dose, available at Talking Herbals. It's a special form of glutathione made specifically for Talking Herbals use. And there are lots of studies on the web on glutathione. So a little glutathione, maybe 1,000 or 2,000 milligrams, might be helpful. Now, this glutathione in the brain is kind of interesting because you would want the brain to make glutathione. And one of my favorite subjects, of course, is broccoli seed and sulforaphane. And sulforaphane has been shown to help produce glutathione in the brain. And there have been some studies, animal studies, and anxiety and depression. No one's really done a human clinical trial. And broccoli seed. But remember, you need the active form of broccoli seed, and you need a potent dose, which is in Physician, Vitalica Physician. You can find it in Talking Herbals. This is the ingredient originally researched by John Hopkins and developed for clinical use, but it's available over the counter. And it's perfectly safe, and it has lots and lots of other benefits. So, acetylcarnitine, exercise, B6, folic acid, these all might help. Again, the good news about acetylcarnitine, it doesn't have any known side effects. It's available almost every place. It's inexpensive, which is nice. Dose level, because it's an amino acid, you take higher doses than you do of a vitamin, you know, where you would take milligrams. You take it in actually gram doses, and most pills occur as 500 milligrams. So I would suggest, if you're really trying to get an effect, probably around 2,000 milligrams, which is really not a particularly high dose, and see if you get a response. And if you do, I'd love you to share it in the comments or in my email at NutraSteve@hotmail.com, because it's really, really important for people to know there might be a viable alternative for depression if their antidepressant's not working, or they choose not to do an antidepressant medication. So I want to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. I get to know how many people actually will be getting these podcasts. And feel free to share this with your friends, colleagues, and family. As I said, I never report something in these podcasts that is not verifiable by doing a web search. But there's so much on the web now, it's kind of hard to sort through so many nutrition claims and nutrition articles and see if they really have some validity. So again, this is Steve Halpern, and thank you so much for listening.